Hello and welcome to 633 Leadership Podcasts. Here's a question. Are we missing something crucial regarding what Jesus has made available for the growth, development, and effectiveness of his church? I'm going to repeat that one. Are we missing something crucial about what Jesus has made available for the growth, development, and effectiveness of his church? I want to consider three elements of the work of Christ in our own lives as leaders and those of our people. First, we're all very familiar with the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Preaching on them, encouraging them in our people, even longing for more of them in our own lives, is a familiar theme as we look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23. When we see evidence of these in our lives and in those of our people within our churches, we know that we have the evidence of growth in Christ. Of course, it's not complete. We disappoint ourselves so often, never mind the disappointment in seeing the lack in others. I'm sure, like me, you've encouraged others that development and growth in these areas is the evidence of developing the character of Jesus. For he, of course, demonstrated all these perfectly. So I don't know of any church leader who would ignore the vital importance of the fruit of the Spirit in the individual's life, and therefore in the development of the church as a whole. Then there's a second aspect of the work of the Spirit of Christ in releasing his gifts, his charismas, into our lives. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." Paul uses three words: gifts, service, and working. We find those in these verses, in verse 4, in verse 5, and in verse 6. Paul uses three words: gifts, service, and working, in verses 4, 5, and 6. And it's completely valid to discuss a differentiation between these three. But that's not my point here, perhaps another time. You see, the word gifts is the Greek word charism. The word service is the word that we use for deaconing, talking about deacons. The word working is a word that means energizing. He gives us gifts differently, he enables us to serve differently, and he energizes us differently. Paul goes on to write in verse 7 about the manifestation of the Spirit given to each Christian. Now, I realize that how we approach these verses and others like them differs across sections of the church. Whilst I come from a Pentecostal persuasion, that too is not primarily the issue for me here. All expressions of church have an understanding of what Paul is teaching in these verses, even though our own personal church stream and denominational outworkings and emphases might vary. At first base here is an understanding that God's Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, works in and through each individual believer to express something of God's desire for the building up of his body and the outworking of his mission in the world. It's a recognition that we're not going to achieve the Missio Dei, God's mission to save the world, on our own. We need his power, his authority, and the equipment that he offers us in order to see it done. So, as the fruit of the Spirit represents the crucial character issues applicable to all God's people in order to manifest the life and character of Jesus to the world, so the gifts of the Spirit are vital giftings available to all God's people in order to impact the world for Jesus and fulfill his mission in it. I doubt there's much dissension about anything I've said thus far, which brings me back to my question. Are we missing something crucial regarding what Jesus has made available for the growth, development, and effectiveness of his church? You see, as I understand it, Jesus doesn't just give or develop the fruit of his life, his character, in our lives, along with giving by the Spirit his gifts to empower us to serve him and manifest his power in the world. If we settle only for the fruit and the gifts of the Spirit, I believe we'll miss the dynamism of the ascension gifts of Jesus. In my view, these gifts are gifts of grace, and clearly it's his grace, his charis, that is behind every gift, charisma. So I want to read from Ephesians 4, verses 7 through to 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will be no longer infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Paul, in these verses, gives a glorious picture of the church, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, reaching unity in the faith, equipping people for works of service, that the body of Christ may be built up, not blown here and there by all sorts of different teaching, speaking the truth in love, becoming in every respect the mature body of Christ, and being ones who are held together by every supporting ligament as we grow and build ourselves up in love and as each part does its work. It's a glorious picture of the church. And I have to say, I'm not sure that as yet we're seeing the fullness of that. Let me go back to those verses. In verse 7 and 8, we find three words again. We find the word grace. To each one of us, grace has been given. Grace, charis. In verse 8, we come across the word gifts, which is a word meaning gratuity, dorea, gratuity. And in verse 9, again, we come across another word for gift, which is doma. Perhaps if I paraphrase, we could say of this that Jesus Christ graciously and gratuitously, freely, provided these gifts to the church so that his people could be completely energized or equipped for for serving others, and for building up his body. I'm paraphrasing there verses 7 and 8 and verse 12. Now, in the context of this passage, if this is the purpose of the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, then I believe we would do well to apply at least as much energy to pursuing these gifts as we do to the perhaps more familiar spiritual gifts of 1 Corinthians 12. Now, I don't want yet to go into any detail about each of these five grace gifts. Hopefully, we'll be able to look at these in later episodes. But what interests me most is seeing how these are equipping gifts for the church at large, having a universal application, rather than being solely vested in a few individuals who perhaps carry titles and positions in the church. You see, verse 7 is a crucial verse to take account of as we consider fivefold ministry. Bearing in mind also that verses 8, 9, and 10 are a parenthesis, or an aside, we might say, giving the context of the gift giving and a spiritual background from Psalm 68, let's hear again verse 7 going straight into verse 11. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. I want to suggest that these verses teach us that these gifts are given to each of us, available to all of God's people, not limited to a few. Christ has apportioned his grace to us all so that all of God's people can play their part in building up the church. It is not, in my view, simply for ordained ministers to carry the responsibility for building up the body of Christ. So then, you may ask, do we label everyone with one or more of these five offices as they become known? No, I don't think so. But what I do believe, and have been seeking to encourage in my own church family, is that all can function at some level in one or more of these five. Furthermore, I'm convinced that we can use these five as descriptive of the grace or anointing that's upon one another. The challenge we face is discerning what these five graces appear as in the lives of our people. And we'll look at this again in later podcasts, I hope. So then, these five graces on God's people are additional descriptions of how they're called to function within the body of Christ, clearly consistent with the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians and elsewhere. So a key discipleship imperative for the church is to help people discover and develop in these five areas. And this is not one that I've seen great evidence of in local churches, but I would hope that this might be possible. Am I then saying that these five are not offices? Well, no, actually, I'm not saying that either. I believe, though, what must come first is the development of apostolic people, prophetic people, evangelistic people, people who can shepherd others and those who can teach others. From this church population of fivefold graces, I believe we can see emerge those who clearly carry a greater level of these anointings and therefore take greater, perhaps even translocal leadership in these areas. So let me try and conclude this podcast. I believe it is a challenge to the church as to why there is a real value for the gifts and for the fruit, but it seems less so, less interest, less scope for the application for the third, the ascension giftings. Fruit is the crucial character of Jesus formed in us by Holy Spirit, applicable to all to manifest the life of Jesus to the world. Gifts, a power of Jesus given to us to manifest his kingdom, vital giftings available to all to impact the world for Jesus. And graces, ascension gifts from Jesus to enable all of us to build one another up to become more like Jesus, to equip the church, our fellow disciples, to be everything Jesus died and rose again and poured out his Holy Spirit to make it. We need the fruit of the Spirit to develop the character of Jesus in his people. This is an overwhelming need, because people without his character will not be good and effective stewards of his supernatural gifts of Holy Spirit power. Clearly, we need the gifts of the Spirit to manifest the power of Jesus to the world around us, to bring the kingdom of heaven effectively to earth. But we also deeply need the five graces of Christ at work in the whole of his church, to equip it to impact a world that is lost and estranged from him. I would want to invite church and ministry leaders to seek to develop these in themselves, in their own people, and to make them a central plank of their discipleship culture, not to sideline them as a topic of interest for discussion which has no immediate application to our churches. My prayer really is that all of God's people will discover their part in equipping the whole church. And then, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:14, then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we'll grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I'd love you to respond to this podcast. You can do that via Facebook, by Twitter. You can do that through the website, 633.co.uk. But let's finish this with prayer. Father God, I thank you that in your word we see all the equipment that you provide by the Lord Jesus through your Holy Spirit for us, your people, your church, to become mature, to fully grow up into all that Jesus is and was, to become strong and established, to become effective in impacting our world and in manifesting Jesus and his kingdom to those around us. So, Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that our discipleship as Christian leaders, the discipleship of our people within our churches and our ministry groups, would include the development of the fruit of the Spirit, that we would grow in all ways in the character of our Lord Jesus, that his gifts would be evident amongst us all, Lord, that the power of those gifts, for those workings, those energies working within us, will demonstrate the kingdom of heaven here on earth and bring with it all the power that is available to us, because yours is the power and yours is the glory forever and ever. May we see that, Lord Jesus, and may these five graces be developed within our lives and developed within our churches, that we might become that apostolic people that will blaze a trail for your kingdom in our world, that we might be that prophetic people speaking into the lives not only of one another but into the world of your hope and your joy and your love and your power and your grace and your ability to bring us into transformation. That we might develop an evangelistic people carrying the good news of your kingdom to all who will hear. That we might be a people who care for and shepherd and love and nurture and feed and teach your people, that we might grow up into Christ who is our head. Father, I ask all of this for myself and my brothers and sisters. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks so much for listening to this leadership podcast. We hope it's helped you. There'll be more content on the website soon. Please follow us on Facebook at 6.33 or on Twitter at 6_33. Remember that 6 is the number and 33 are the words. Also register on 633.co.uk. So that we can keep you in touch by email. Thanks for listening. God bless you. See you again soon.